fighting for America.
They should know we will follow them to the gates of hell until they are brought to justice. Because hell is where they will reside.
Fighting for Idaho.
Idaho is probably four, five, six, seven times the size of pick a state in the east, New Hampshire, Connecticut. And yet your power in the electoral vote is a fraction of theirs.
Fighting for you.
This is the first time in American history when we're going to really leave our legacy and children with less opportunity than we had when we grew up. It's frightening and it requires immediate action.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
It's scary.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, coming up, Dave Petzl will join us. Kevin Miller in the morning. Once again, Alan L. Martin, attorney at law here. And I know you didn't get a chance to finish your thoughts here concerning the state and the federal government talking about marriage, the same-sex ban. I mean, even saying the same-sex ban, it puts the state on the defensive, right?
Well, that's the framework of the issue here. It's government state rights versus individual constitutional rights of due process. This is the battle that is going to be presented to the Ninth Circuit today. I think we all have a good idea what the Ninth Circuit's going to do given the liberal tendencies of the court. But the values are pitted against each other. There's a moral code here that's being asserted by those who are supporting the state's rights issue here. And then there's a moral code, if you will, that's being asserted for individual freedom. The question posed here is, what role does government have in determining what marriage should be constituted? It's clear that in the state of Idaho has adopted the approach that marriage is defined as a relationship or a contract between one man and one woman at any given time. And the challenge will be is that why is the government involved in discriminating against consenting adults from being able to contract with each other regardless of gender?
Right.
And this is what the court will decide is, it, does the government have a legitimate state interest in making that call? The older I get, from my standpoint, the more jaundice I get at government making decisions for us on an individual basis. But yet to the argument against that is that that's what all law is predicated upon, some type of moral premise. Murder, for example, is based on...
What's the moral premise of redefining marriage?
Well, that's the point, is that it's not a redefinition. It's whether or not the government has a right to make that call for consenting adults who want to do something different.
Sure.
Or, as you brought up the issue,
polygamy,
is whether multiple adults can enter into one contract with each other. And that, obviously, is going to fall in the next battle. That really doesn't have any particular merit in this particular case.
How do you see this playing out? What's your prediction?
Oh, I think the Ninth Circuit's going to reverse the position of Idaho and the other states that prohibit gay marriage.
Oh, bully for you.
Well, it's not for me. I'm just telling you. You asked me what I think the liberal...
This is agreement radio.
You know, you've got... What you've got, though, are three justices, or judges, rather, in the Ninth Circuit that have made it fairly clear what their political bent is.
Right.
And I think the battle here is going to be uphill for the states to be able to show that marriage does have, in fact, a legitimate state interest. And how that's going to be argued, it remains to be seen here today. But it is an epic battle of states' rights versus individual freedom. And we're going to have to see how it shakes out. The Ninth Circuit is not the final arbiter of this particular decision. This case will go to the Supreme Court. And it'll be interesting to see how the Supreme Court first frames the issue and then secondly decides it.
All right, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law with us. We'll have more on this case coming up. Joining us now is our great friend Dave Petzl here at 580KIDO. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning.
See, we have our staff attorney with us now.
I see that.
We have our staff financial guy, and now we have our staff attorney.
And the doctor will be in later.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk a little bit about the markets. It's been a while since we've yapped. Up, down, what's going on?
It's up. It's not up without a few down days in between, but we closed Friday at all-time highs again. Kevin, 5 weeks in a row since we haven't been visiting for a while. It's 5 weeks in a row up in spite of what's going on in Russia, in spite of what's going on actually all over the world geopolitically. But also, we had a very difficult, very poor jobs report on Friday. And in spite of that, the market continued to rally. So this is the most despised, hated bull market I've ever even heard of.
Now, people call it a false economy, Dave Petso. They talk about the idea that the Fed is printing money, the jobs aren't really percolating, as you've just pointed out. 80% of the folks not in the market, is this fool's gold?
No, it's not. It's real gold. If you continue to say, because I'm not in the market, the market's phony, is simply saying, you know, I missed it. Darn it, I missed it. And I think we outthink ourselves. What else are you going to put money into? And I talked about it on Saturday. What are you going to do? What else will you do? Are you going to put your money into cash, which earns zero? Gold? You know, there's some gold bugs out there, but that's not, you know, it doesn't produce anything, has no income, it doesn't do anything. And so if you're running pension money, big money, if you will, there really are little alternatives in the world other than U.S. stocks.
The idea, though, you do have some investors, and we've seen this in the Treasure Valley, and certainly we've covered it forever at 580K IDO, is this issue involving buying real estate, buying property.
Absolutely.
For investments.
Yeah, and they are. Actually, as you well know, Kevin, property is doing much, much better than it was. And, again, there's not a big problem there. Real estate is better than cash, but the returns have not been historically that good. In fact, the historic rate of return on single-family housing is 1% above inflation since 1950. That's not much. It's not much of a return and doesn't compare favorably at all. Actually, it compares very unfavorably to most other investments, including bonds. But bonds today with interest rates at all-time lows are really a very poor risk, I believe.
Now, Dave Petso, as you know, I don't really know much about the markets. I just love to ask the questions. But if I were looking to invest heavy, I just invest in the medical field. That seems like the place where it's all going to grow. You've got to grow as opposed to go. You've got all these boomers retiring again and again and again. It would seem to me they're going to need medical attention. And a lot of people are concerned, though, having enough money to deal with medical expenses.
Absolutely, yeah. In fact, Kevin, this may not surprise you, but we're first of all, I think there's nothing wrong with that, and they're targeting at least an overweighted position in healthcare. It's been a very profitable position to have.
Even with Obamacare.
Even with Obamacare, because around the edges, you're still seeing companies innovate and create. And Obamacare has not taken full effect to destroy the creation of new drugs and things like that. Not yet. Although that actually is out there. And on medical equipment, with the medical equipment tax, that's going to be a real detriment long term, but not short term. So these companies are still knocking the cover off the ball, doing very, very well. Now, when we take that and you say, what are we going to do long term as an investor? I think you do need to set aside money as an individual family to cover the kinds of things that are not covered by any national health care anywhere in the world, and they're not going to be covered by us either. We don't have the money. It will be rationed. We all know that, unless Obamacare is undone. And so if you want new knees and new hips when you're 88 years old, you better pay. You're going to be having to plan on
paying
for
it. Is it possible to have like a thrift store for those things, you know, only used for a couple of years? You can clean everything off and then throw them back in?
Not a bad idea, Kevin.
All kidding aside, though, that is a big fear. Now, something that you deal with at Petso Financial, the Petso Center, Dave Petso with us, Kevin Miller, 580K IDO, is when to retire. Mm-hmm. You know, there's an article in USA Today saying, don't let your 401k retire before you. And everybody searches for, to retire because they think it's going to be the best ever. And then they find out they've worked their entire lives. They go crazy when they don't have anything to do. So I guess first and foremost, how do you make sure that your 401k, your IRA, whatever you have, doesn't retire before you?
Well, Kevin, you first of all, most people aren't saving enough, and they are not for their retirement. It takes a humongous mountain of money to retire on. But that's the easy part of the answer, is if we have a number, then I feel like I can now retire. When, especially for us men, we don't deal with the psychological side. And the best example I can give of that is if four guys go play golf and they don't know each other, and they get on the first tee and they start playing. By the second hole, everybody knows what somebody did for a living. We don't know how many kids the other person has. We don't care. but we do identify ourselves with our work, with our vocation, with who, that's who we are as men. And when we don't deal with that, we suddenly walk out of the workplace and become nothing but a retired guy that's kind of in the way. That psychologically is very, very difficult on people. So it's two sides. The money side is a formulaic answer, and that's what human beings like. The difficult part is figuring out what you're going to do for the rest of your life every day.
Dave Petzl with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. As Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, looks on, I guess he's doing some prep for his legal services here. But let me see, you can tell the intellectual firepower in this room has gone up quite a bit, hasn't it?
Oh, definitely, yeah. You have an attorney in the room.
We're just watching what you say now, Dave.
All right.
what about debt services? Is that going to be a big issue? You know, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law, and I talk about just debt services and how, you know, people are struggling to deal with debt. You and I have talked about this. Mm-hmm. You have people in their 60s now trying to pay off student loans still.
I'm not sure why or what happened in this country where we got away from having a regular savings, but people didn't. We have this instant gratification, and that's not everybody. I'm not going to condemn everyone here because there's a lot of people that really do put money aside. Get it early. Do it from that point of view. But it is changing, Kevin. I really think it is. I mean, whether it's a Dave Ramsey type of a program, you see him around, you see him in all the churches. People are trying to simplify. They are trying to get out of debt. And I really have seen it on a local basis. This recession, although everybody, you know, it's a terrible thing, it's a bad thing, people lost jobs. I get all that. But sometimes we need that kind of wake-up call that says, hey, we've got too much debt out there. We've got too much leverage out there. The government's still too leveraged. They don't get it. We just print more money and don't deal with the hard issues. But on a family basis, we are definitely dealing with it and doing a better job of it.
Here's what I want to ask.
Hold on. Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. Thanks for butting in here. Go ahead.
You bet. I have a number of clients.
Are you qualified to ask Dave Petzl a question here?
I do, and I'm telling you, it's right out of gut fear that every listener has, and that is when we're dealing with equities, there's always a risk factor that's involved in the investment, of losing our investment. But how do you explain and address that fear where you have a client that comes in and they're worried that if they invest their money now because the market is at an all-time high that, you know, what goes up must come down, and if it's so high, it's gonna go down. How do you address that and alleviate that fear?
Well, there's two different issues. First of all, oftentimes people are actually making an excuse for why they are blowing money that they should be saving. It's not the markets. When the issue becomes the markets, then you have to educate people, because the reality is, no matter when you bought stocks, it's not a timing issue. It's being in the market that counts. And if people are talking about an individual security, you're quite right. There is risk. The risk of the market going away is near zero, or we have complete collapse. And I don't know why your dollars would be worth something where the corporations of the world are worth zero. So the reality is it's an education problem. If you need money immediately, then, of course, timing is the issue. But if you're talking about long-term investment, long-term savings, then equity risk is worth taking, because it's what has produced the 10% returns. And when we compare that to basically, that's 7 points for 200 years above inflation.
Okay, you're going to have to simplify that for me.
7% above inflation.
Right.
For 200 years is what the market has averaged.
All right, Dave Petzl with us, Alan L. Morton, attorney at law. Why is he here?
That's earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning as we continue on. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We go to Robert, Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO with a very special story. Robert, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin. Thanks for having me on.
You know, you contacted me last night via Facebook. Please tell me what's going on. First of all, thank you for your service, and we've got a war hero coming home, and what can we do to help?
Well, Jessa is a Malinois, an EDD dog. That's an explosive detection dog. And we worked under a State Department contract there in Baghdad. I was injured out myself about a year ago, and I could not bring her home with me because they go to next handlers. However, she herself injured out, and I was contacted by one of my friends over there, another handler, happens to be from Idaho as well. that she was being put up for adoption. And of course, he contacted me because he knew I would want to rescue her. And so I started a campaign to try to get her home. It's going to be a substantial amount of money and a little more than we could swing with a family of five here trying to get by like everybody else.
Well, let me tell you something, Robert. First of all, you touched my heart, and you're going to touch so many people. And so for folks that are interested, it's to GoFundMe.com, Bring Jessa Home. And I don't mean to overtalk you, sir. I just want to make sure we get the information out. GoFundMe.com.
Sure.
Go to Bring Jessa Home. So you talked about it with your family. Now you're adding your companion coming home. Tell us what that means to you. And, again, what you're looking for. What can we do to help you, sir?
Well, I can't hardly talk about that, Kevin, without getting a little choked up. I started training her when she was just a puppy, and she was like just 14 months old. And she worked with me in Baghdad in the worst conditions you can probably imagine. We worked to secure the embassy there in Baghdad and then the outer checkpoints for the people that are coming into the city. Our people are still there doing that today. These brave men and women and the canines. And Jessa did that, and she was just a fantastic animal, fantastic companion. And she, you know, her service to our country means so much to me that she deserves to come home and retire with a family and learn how to be a dog, you know, and she doesn't have to work anymore. You know, she can just be a dog with my children and enjoy her the rest of her life here. We did start this campaign on GoFundMe.com at Bring Jessa Home about 10 days ago, maybe a little more than that. We set an initial goal of just to get her home because, you know, we're not trying to make anything here, just to get her home. It was going to be about $800, and we made it. We made that goal. We've been contacted by the adoption people over there that she has dropped weight, and she's got torn muscle in her rear. And she's probably going to need, well, she will need vet care. We just don't know how expensive yet. And so I went ahead and upped the goal to 16, so another 8. And we'll have our vet here check her out and see what kind of medical issues she's going to need to deal with to get her healthy. And that's where we're at. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot of money, $800. It is to us. And so anything that could be, you know, that people can help will be, you know, greatly appreciated, not just for my family, but for Jessa and getting her home.
Well, Robert, let's again, GoFundMe.com, Bring Jessa Home, J-E-S-A, home. And we've got your back on this, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Kat. I really appreciate it.
No, we're not done with you yet, my friend. Let's talk a little bit more about just what it was like to work with Jessa and how pumped you are to bring her here to the Treasure Valley.
Well, working with her over there in the conditions we did, it amazed me because it's hard on the human body. It's hard on all the guys and gals that are over there working right now. In the search pit, the temperatures get up to 130 degrees because you're just surrounded by nothing but a concrete jungle in those areas. And not to mention the stress on us, the people, the handlers, but the stress on the animals working there. We work 12-hour shifts, you know, every day. You don't have any time off, you know, and they work amazingly. You know, I did tell a little story on that site one day that we were called out to an outer checkpoint, and we don't go there, right? But it was the Iraqi military asking a favor from apparently the embassy. And we volunteered, me and Jessa. And so we just took our interpreter and in a pickup truck and drove to one of these outer checkpoints. And, yeah, it's a little unnerving. there was, you know, this tanks and M60s, and you can just imagine all the – we were just surrounded by all of this military equipment that, you know, is supposedly friendly, but you're never safe when you're on the border of the red zone and the green zone. And there was over 600 briefcases these people were asking us to search. It was 3 or 4 pickup trucks loaded with briefcases that were destined to go into Baghdad for the government. And they all had to be checked. And it was so hot. I was looking for shade, you know, next to a semi-truck just to get myself out of it, you know, and I just was feeling so bad for Yes, I was, you know, giving her bottled water, you know, best I could to keep her hydrated. But she did it, you know, and she did it with all these guys, you know, watching, on looking, you know, seeing what we're doing. She did it. I was so proud of her. And to my knowledge, I don't think any EDD has ever searched that amount. They're literally piles in an open area of these briefcases. It was amazing. She's amazing. She's an amazing dog. She did what I asked her to. She got nothing in return except my affection and her dog food. And they just work, you know, and serve our country, keeping our people safe over there. They're doing that today, you know. Men and women from sheriff's departments, police departments, every branch of the military, all of these people are over there. You don't hear about them, but they're there.
Right. Robert, let me just again remind people, GoFundMe.com, bring Jessa home. And I'm going to ask you to hold on the line here for a minute because I want to talk to you off the air. But,
sure.
You know, you got to send me those pictures. We're going to have all the information on our website and our Facebook and everything else because, you know, I'm just moved by your story, and I know that the people listening here are moved by it. So God bless you for not leaving little Jessa behind.
Oh, yeah. I didn't want to. I didn't have a choice at the time, but I'm so thrilled that I get a chance to rescue her, save her.
Yeah.
You know, get her a good home.
You're doing a great thing. Yeah. So, Robert, please stand by. I'll talk to you in a second. If you would like to help bring Jessa home, here you have this canine that served our country. And Robert, who served our country, she's injured. She needs your help. Go to GoFundMe.com, type in Bring Jessa Home, J-E-S-A, and make a difference. And we'll have that for you probably after 10 a.m. today on our website here at 580KIDO. Truly a remarkable story, a story of inspiration. And doesn't take much to help, does it? I know I'm kicking in. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580KIDO.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men,
men, men, men, manly men.
All right, here we are. Thanks to our friends at CapEd Credit Union, promoting our schools, securing our future. And by the way, speaking of CapEd, they've got their teacher grants ready to go, so they are accepting applications. Remember the end of the school year last year, our friend from CapEd, Todd, came by and made sure that we knew about all the good teachers that got their scholarships, that did get their funding, their grants from CapEd. So we're looking forward to being a part of the process as well. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Kevin.
Well, how are you?
I am well. It's Tuesday. Things are good.
Well, that's good. I'll tell you, a very emotional night for me last night. I went to the airport, and this is a follow-up. If you were listening earlier, you heard this, our interview with Robert, a veteran who was guarding the embassy in Iraq, and he has his work canine, Jessa, and we have a story about it at 580kido.com. And last night at the Boise airport, Jessa came home. And I have never seen a person, an animal, anything so happy to see another as Jessa was to see Robert last night. Outstanding work by our friends at the United Baggage Claim and the Delta Baggage Claim. It was just a heartwarming experience that we hope to share with people later on in the day.
Well, as a matter of fact, I'm working on the video as we speak.
What did you think of it?
Well, I haven't watched it all yet. I'm just editing the start of it, and I had to go out to a different computer because mine doesn't work here, blah, blah, blah. That doesn't really matter. But so I'm working in the hallway right outside the traffic studio getting that done so we can post it.
Folks, this is what we're talking about here. We have several computers. We just don't have one computer at work. We have a few. So
yeah, the Commodore 64 cassette drive just won't handle it.
You know, but Dave, you've dedicated yourself to broadcasting and community service. And sometimes there's a story, and we'll hear from Robert again today, that really touches your heart, as dark and cynical as mine may be. And just to be there last night, it was just me and Robert watching him pick up Jessa. It made me feel good about just where we are in the world today.
Yep. So I'm anxious to get that video posted so people can take a look at it. So anxious to see that.
And if you go to our Facebook page, there's a couple pictures of Robert and myself. I sent you a couple. I can only take a couple because I couldn't really work the camera and the still photo, but there should be enough for your purposes. I appreciate you helping me out on this, by the way.
Not a problem. I'll try to get it done and up within the next hour. It just depends. Everybody behave in traffic, and that way I can step out and do that. So
there you have it. But when you heard this story, what were your thoughts?
Well, you know, it for any of these military men and women that work with animals over there, and then they have to leave them behind. It's, you know, how you get attached to an animal, especially I think if you're you're away from home. I think there's probably a bond that even, you know, for me as a regular citizen, I don't understand. My dog, a lot of times, it's like, get out from under my feet, for crying out loud, you lazy dog, you crumb cruncher. But when you're depending on that dog and that dog's depending on you, there has to be just an incredible bond. And then to leave that animal behind, that's got to be tough.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it's just got to be tough.
Well, and like we said, there's a link to Jessa on our website, 580kido.com. Idaho War Dog needs your help. We are looking to help Robert take care of Jessa. And Robert's not looking for a lot, just the vet care and, you know, some food and such. I mean, he's got a family of five. And think about this. Here you have it. He's got a family of five, and he's going to bring home his dog. And I was talking to him last night. His kids are all pumped up about it. You know, this is just a good story, and why not help out this young man? It's not like it's an exorbitant amount of money. So I hope that people, and look, you and I are always talking about penny pinching and the like, but if you can donate $20, $40, what have you, it really would make a difference.
Yep, absolutely. In fact, go to 580kido.com and click on the link, and that way you'll get through the links to how you can help as well.
So we have that going on. I'm trying to think as we move along here at 580KIDO. Gee, not much going on in the world of sports and entertainment and news. Boy, we have this, what do we call this, tsunami of, how do we define the domestic violence, NFL cover-up, lack of cover-up, who knows what's going on, broader implications than the Ray Rice case.
Well, the whole Ray Rice case is amazing, and the NFL is getting a bad name out of it as well for their lack of investigation, and then just a two-game suspension, and then once the full video shows up to show what a dog Ray Rice is, in Baltimore, which took them time, but they did the right thing. They got rid of him, said, see ya, we don't want to be associated with you, and the NFL saying, yeah, you're suspended. But what's fascinating out of the case to me is how the NFL kind of sort of investigated it, but not enough to really want to go and ask for all the videos that were available.
Well, you know, and you have to wonder whether or not the NFL did know. There's speculation. You know, you have so many people saying, you know, what is it, Chris Mortensen, Peter King, saying that the NFL did see the videos. You know, I remember you and I were talking about this at 580KIDO, and I remember talking to you about the comments of John Harbaugh where he was saying, well, this is over, we need to move on, drive on, as if it were a traffic ticket. And I thought, remember I'm saying this to you, how insensitive that was at the time. And now the coach has to go out there and address the media. They've released him. They've terminated him. Should the guy ever play in the NFL again?
You know what? I think he's eligible to play in it, but I think any program that would pick him up for his talent is wrong. You know, there has to be a standard that we live by, and one of the things that speaks horribly to young men is that, you know, we would allow somebody to physically abuse a woman to the point of punching her in the face, that you would allow that person to participate. There needs to be a standard, and anyone in the NFL that were to pick him up, shame on them.
Well, here's the other thing, though, that gets me, and this was pointed out by our colleague Mike North on 630 The Fan this morning, that here you have Ray Lewis, here you have Michael Irvin, here you have, insert NFL analysts that have had troubles either with the law or with their own incidences of domestic violence, commenting on this. And that Ray Lewis is on last night saying he's mentored Ray Rice. What's the message there?
If Ray Lewis and Ray Rice's personal relationship, that's up to them. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's been a Fox reporter who's been suspended because of, you know, making funny comments. Funny ha-ha comments. There's nothing funny or humorous about it.
But why would you do that? It's, you know, why would you make dumb comments?
It's just not being very smart is what it is.
Right.
But, you know, so, you know, it's just, it's a tragic situation, and I think the NFL needs to firm up. I mean, much as when it comes to, you know, whether it's domestic violence, whether it's drug abuse, whether it's gang crime, guns, shooting, attempted murder, assaults, they need to start cracking down. And you know, there's a lot of money involved in this. You know, to me, the NFL is not to be held blameless. They could have investigated as good as TMZ. They got more money than TMZ does. You know, when it comes to really investigating, they could put reporters and investigators on this saying they would put TMZ to shame for crying out loud. But TMZ is the one that uncovered a lot of it.
Well, and the fact that 580KIDO, that maybe they didn't want to know about this, and that Ray Rice only had two games, and, you know, as we move along here.
Yeah, I mean, so two games, woo-hoo. You know, to me and you, that's a lot of money, but to these guys that make the millions like that, that's chump change.
So here we are. We have the Ray Rice situation going on at 580KIDO. A lot of people are, and we'll talk about this later in the week, rebelling against the First Lady's school lunch program. Apparently, that even a turkey sandwich cannot be served in a school lunch because it has too much sodium. The standards are just too high, and the kids are rebelling. Actually, I think they're bringing junk food in from home.
Of course they are.
And really what's going to happen here is you're going to have, you know, black market food being brought in, black market foodies, if you will.
I'm going to tell you right now, it's already happening to where, you know, kids are bringing in stuff and suddenly they're, you know, the Twinkies are being slipped under the table to each other because, you know, I'm not going to eat that. Here, have some celery with water on it.
Have some celery with water on it. It's good.
And I'm not saying the Twinkies are the right things. You know, Twinkies and jelly beans really don't make a good lunch. But come on, there's a point to where it just gets ridiculous. And it's all for, it's a show.
Well, speaking of ridiculous, and just to jump around here for a minute, a topic I didn't get to talk to you about yesterday, the owner of the Atlanta Hawks. And folks, if you're saying, well, why are we talking about sports? This is not a sports story. This is a story about life, really, because it could happen to any CEO. The owner of the Atlanta Hawks apparently has been busted self-reported himself for having racist emails. And apparently it came about based on comments from his general manager, Danny Ferry, former famous player at Duke, who was really a bust in the NFL, or in the NBA and the NFL, for that matter, those of you keeping score so early in the morning. When he was talking about Lou Aldang, a player now with the Miami Heat, saying, quote, unquote, he's got a lot of African in him. And based on this conference call that Danny Ferry had allegedly said he's got a lot of African in him, the NBA took it upon himself, owners, and started investigating the owner of the Atlanta Hawks, who self-reported. And now, all of a sudden, because he said something inappropriate, derogatory, concerning the attendance at the Atlanta Hawks games, it was getting too, quote-unquote, urban, I guess, I'm paraphrasing here, that now he's going to sell his team. We don't condone those remarks, but is an email, inappropriate comments, enough to get you fired or enough for you to be forced to sell your fortune?
Well, he's getting out ahead of the wave. He self-reported it. He's putting it up for sale before it even becomes a controversy, so that's a decision he has made. But I, again, we get very sensitive. Should the movie White Men Can't Jump, should that be offensive to me? Should it?
Well, yes. I think there's a lot of double standards there.
Well, yeah, I'm hurt by the movie. I'm very hurt. Of course, you haven't seen me jump either, but I'm very hurt by that. White Men Can't Jump?
I had to take a minute, though, because I can't jump either.
Yeah, you know, which is true in my case, but there are some white guys that can jump. But I'm just saying, if you were to have a movie and reverse, you know, reverse the titles of it, that would be an offensive movie.
Right. But getting back to this thing, I mean, are we becoming, are we just becoming a politically correct witch hunt society where all of a sudden we're going after people for what they say, which we may not agree with? I mean, the idea that we're going to get them, what is the NBA now, the NCAA? And all of a sudden, we're going to what you can and can't say in the locker room. And I'm just sitting to myself. And then on the other hand, we have the hypocrisy of you can punch your woman. And not only can you punch her, you can drag her out of the elevator. And then to hush her up, you marry her. And then everybody tries to brush it off as, oh, we're going to move on from this. Look at the prosecutor in this case. They didn't prosecute Ray Rice. I mean, anybody who's seen that video knows that was a heck of a right hook.
That was assault. I mean, that was assault, plain and simply.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. You have to be careful in what you say. You have to be careful in what you do. And sometimes some people who aren't careful in what they do and say still get away with it for longer than they should. But I think in the case of Ray Rice, the right thing has happened. It just took too long, and too many people tried to sweep it under the rug.
Well, does Roger Goodell lose his job? Is everybody that is calling for him to lose his job now? And I'm going, okay, forget about due process. Forget about did he know or didn't he know. Why all of a sudden are we calling for the head of the NFL to get fired? Is that appropriate?
I think it's appropriate for the head of the NFL to explain why the whole thing was handled the way it was. I think that's appropriate. I mean, I invest time in watching the NFL. There's people who invest time and their money into the Baltimore Ravens and into the NFL. I think it's appropriate that he explained why the process happened the way it did, or the process really didn't happen the way it did. I think that's very appropriate.
But should he be fired?
Depends on what that showed. If it showed that he and his office said, yeah, let's just cover this up and move on, yeah, maybe. But if it turned out that this was the information he was given, okay, all right, we're good with that, move on. I think, you know, if his office was the one who said, yeah, cover it up, let's move on, yeah, I think he should be held accountable.
But here's the other thing at 580KIDO. The prosecutors didn't press charges, so why should the NFL? I mean, they sentenced Ray Rice to a community service program.
Again, the prosecutors, well, I guess they gave what they felt was necessary, but and obviously that wasn't handled right either. So it's just a messy situation, and the problem is it happens over and over in our society. Got to do this. The traffic now, as you're coming out of Canyon County into Ada County, in pretty good shape out there. It is getting busy, and it will slow down at Meridian. In fact, it'll be stop and go as it does every day. Just a heads up there. The epic Robert Comstock and Friends sale at Expo Idaho starts Thursday, 11 until 9 o'clock in the evening. It continues Friday and Saturday, 9 to 9. Discounts are huge. One-of-a-kind men's and women's high fashions and casual wear. Treasure Valley forecast from the Channel 7 First Alert Weather Center. Looking for sunshine today. A bit cooler, highs in the 80s. I'm Dave Burnett. That's your traffic now on 580 KIDO.
Good morning.
Serving Meridian.